So, welcome to San Diego Mission Academy. It's Wednesday, June 7th, 2023 at 12 o'clock. The public is encouraged to participate in the meeting in person or by dialing the conference line or clicking the web link listed on the posted agenda. The public may submit written comments to the board by emailing public comments at SDMissionsAcademy. The public may also provide comments during the public comments section of the meeting agenda. So we're going to go, we're going to call this meeting to order, and we're going to do a roll call and establish a quorum. Carol Stanford, present. Todd Beck, present. John Dorch,
present.
And Barbara Willebrand,
present.
Okay, and let it go a note that Mike Malloy is online. Is that okay? So we're going to do Pledge of Allegiance, and John, would you do that, please?
My pleasure. Please stand and put your hand on your heart. And begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you, John.
You're welcome.
So now we're going to go into staff introductions. Ms. Brown?
Thank you very much, Madam President. Members of the board, my name is Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer. Good afternoon.
All right, welcome. And Jerry Henson?
Good afternoon, board, staff, and all in attendance. This is Jerry Vincent, Corporate Officer.
All right, welcome to both of you. School staff.
Good afternoon. Lindsay Reese, Area Superintendent. By a hair. I will say good morning.
Hello, everyone. This is Jenna Eunice, Principal of San Diego Mission Academy.
And good afternoon. This is Jeff Martin, I'm Vice President of Charter Relations.
Kevin Ogden, I'm the liaison to our authorizer.
Good. All right, welcome to all of you. School Legal Counsel.
Good afternoon, all. Bill Thomas, Legal Counsel. And I'm pleased that we also have my colleague Adam Miller joining us.
Hi, Adam. All right, welcome to both of you. Any advisors who are supporting the agenda items are presenting?
Good afternoon, board. This is Geeta Sharifi, CFO with LLAC.
And good afternoon. This is Michelle Lopez, counsel with LLAC.
Welcome, Geeta and Michelle. Any other staff who wishes to introduce themselves? All right. We're all here and ready to go. So now we're going to go to 1E. Approved agenda for the June 7th, 2023 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. And so that's in front of us right now. So I need a motion and a second to approve 1E.
John Dorch, move to approve.
Todd Beck, second.
Barbara Willebrand, second.
So John Dorch has moved. Todd Beck is second. And we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Todd Beck,
aye.
John Dorch,
aye.
Barbara Willebrand,
aye.
So we have four ayes. So 1E is approved. Four, or 1F. Approved minutes of the April 18, 2023 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. And I assume that you've all read them. Are there any corrections or comments? And if not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 1F?
I'll make a motion.
Barbara Willebrand will second.
Todd Beck is motion. Barbara Willebrand has seconded. We'll vote. Charles Stanford, aye. Todd Beck,
aye.
John Dorch,
aye.
Barbara Willebrand,
aye.
So 1F has been approved by four ayes. So now we're on consent agenda. All items listed under consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote, unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. So this is A, and this is on page 18 in the packet. One, the board will be asked to approve the revised education homeless children and youth policy number 1947. And two, the board will be asked to accept the uniform complaint report for the 22-23 school year. And we have zero complaints received, which is pretty cool. And that's on page 28. Is there anyone who wants to table these or have a discussion? And if not, can I have a motion and a second to approve consent agenda 1 and 2?
John Dorch, move to approve.
Barbara Willebrand, second.
Okay. So John Dorch has moved. Barbara Willebrand has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Todd Beck,
aye.
John Dorch,
aye.
And Barbara Willebrand,
aye.
So four ayes and approved consent agenda A, 1, and 2. So now we're into public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter's jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. The time allotted per presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, unless a member of the public utilizes a transcript, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or reschedule the matter for a future meeting. Is there anyone from the public who would like to introduce themselves or make a comment? And if not, Shelly, has anyone from the public contacted you?
Hi, this is Shelly Sands from the Chagrin Affairs team here to report that there were no members of the public who submitted written comment or have requested to speak.
All right, thank you, Shelly. So now we're on 4, school reports and information. And this is A, Principal of Fifth, Jenna.
Yes. Thank you, Board President. Good afternoon, everyone. For the board report, this board meeting, I should say, for June 2023, it is the end of our school year, so I wanted to provide some highlights. You can see in the center of the screen the ABA trends for the 2022-23 school year. We have one learning period where we were below 90% at 88.85, and for the rest of the school year, utilization was above 90%. Peaking at 94.5%. So really proud of that, considering San Diego Mission Academy has experienced growth in mobility as well. Our state testing percentage, including those students who opted out and could not get their technology to cooperate, was 90%. And I know 95% is our goal, but we felt pretty strong and pretty good about 90%. Definitely an improvement. Each time we do it, we learn new tips and tricks for testing remotely. You can see our enrollment trend has ticked up toward the end of the school year. The last learning period I have reported here is LP10 with 190 students, which is our highest charter to date, I believe, in the past 4 years. So we also have some promising pre-enrollments for this next school year. And then on the left-hand side, I gave some numbers. We're currently at 186 at the time of this report. On July 1st, we were at 155, so almost 20% growth in the SDME charter. We had 36 graduates at the time of this report, and that's up 9 graduates from last school year. So considering the natural attrition of graduates, still having our highest enrollment to date, it's quite an achievement. I'm very proud of that. So on the left-hand side, toward the bottom, I listed or summarized our engagement events for the 22-23 school year, and then highlighted some of our San Diego Mission Academy graduates and students. We recently had a student be awarded the City of Menifee achievement, and we had a student feature in the LA Times as African-American rodeo rider. We actually have a couple of different rodeo riders in San Diego Mission Academy who choose our program for its flexibility. So very cool. I just wanted to highlight some of those things. We did participate in grad night, and this chaperone reported that the students really wanted to stay with them, and it's just a testament to the relationship that we have with the, you know, that we form with our students. They would go off and they wanted to come back and go on the rides with the chaperones. So we had a great time. We also participated in the regional San Diego Riverside Online Graduation Ceremony last week at Belleville Park, and are participating in the Long Beach graduation for some of our Orange County San Diego Mission Academy students, since it's closer in proximity. So a lot to celebrate and just more good things coming for next school year.
Also, if I may, piggyback on Jenna's update and share a little bit about our metrics for San Diego Mission Academy. So San Diego Mission Academy achieved 98.56% ADA and LP9. That's crazy. Out of all the schools I support, I have not seen any ADA percentage that high. It's just amazing what this team can do. They dropped very little in learning period 10. They dropped to 93.63, which is still higher than most of our other schools. So, San Diego Mission Academy is continuing to grow, as Jenna mentioned. We've had a 24 student increase since learning period 8, the last time I updated the board. Same comment about overall credit completion and core credit completion. I want to clarify, it's not a comment on what the Office of School Governance is providing. I know that they want to provide a consistent document with metrics across the board for the board's comparison. I just wanted to make a comment. Don't take it at face value because it's not correct. But hopefully it will be going into the next school year. And then for the grad cohort, so far 29 out of 34 students have graduated from the one-year graduation cohort, bringing the rate to 85.29%. So far, they only have 4 non-completers. So as always, San Diego Mission Academy is just smashing goals and making no bones about it. We're really proud of them. They're doing a great job. And that's it for me. That concludes the report. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So any questions from the board? All right, let's go to 4B, finance update. Gita.
Hello, board. So I'd like to bring your attention to the financial update as far as line of credits that the school maintains. On the documents you'll see on screen, and also it's in your packet. It's just an update for the board's information effective as of October and April 30th, 2023. On the top, you'll see the Hominy line of credit. You'll see how much school maintains as far as line of credit. And then how much has it been drawn from the account, which you see there's none. The school didn't need any line of credit to draw. The interest rate is at 8.75%. The expiration is at 11/3/2023. And then on the lower portion for the Hominy update, it reflects the covenant ratios that we do calculate. These are bank, Hominy Bank's requirements. And they must approve it to ensure that the school have a good financial health and can maintain the line of credit, which the school has been, so they can always tap into the line of credit. And then on the bottom section, you'll see LLAC promissory note that was signed last year, and that is just a fixed rate of 4%, and that shows also the balance and the line of credit that has been maintained with LLAC. So those are my updates for the board. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to discuss. Thank you.
Thank you, Dita. Any questions from the board? Okay, we got that. All right. So now we're on 4C, report on mathematics placement results. Lindsay.
Yes, thank you again. The California Mathematics Placement Act of 2015 required our board to adopt a fair, objective, and transparent math placement policy. The policy addresses students entering the ninth grade and includes several required elements to ensure equity in student achievement, including it must consider multiple objective academic measures, include at least one placement checkpoint within the first month of the school year to ensure accurate placement, and to permit reevaluation of individual student progress. It needs to require an annual examination of pupil placement data to ensure that students are not held back disproportionately based on race, ethnicity, gender, or socioeconomic background. It requires an annual report to be provided to the governing board, like we're doing right now, and offers clearly and timely recourse for each pupil and their parent or guardian who questions their student's placement, and finally requires the policy to be posted on our school website. A quick update on how students have been placed for the 22-23 school year. Our math placement for ninth graders fell into three categories. 4.7% of ninth grade math students placed in geometry or algebra 2, which is considered above grade level, 55.8% placed in algebra 1, which is considered at grade level, and 39.5% placed in remedial math courses. So overall, 60.5% of ninth grade students are at or above grade level in mathematics. All ninth grade students progressed in their mathematics courses, and none were held back. We will continue to evaluate the data and report to the board next year pursuant to the board's policy. And this concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from the board? All right. So we're going to move to D, LCFF, Local Educators Report. Jen.
Thank you very much. I will briefly overview the 22-23 LCFF Local Educator Report highlights. As a reminder, the LCFF Local Indicators Report is a report that all schools in California are required to have. It measures and reports on key local indicators,
based on 5 of the LCFF state priorities only. We used the California Department of Education self-reflection tools to determine if performance standard was met or not met, and the results will be uploaded to the dashboard this fall. I'm happy to report that San Diego Mission Academy met the criteria for all indicators. Priority 1 ensures all students are assigned to appropriately credentialed teachers, and they all have access to instructional materials. We are pleased to report they've had 0 teacher misassignments and ensured that every student had access to standards-aligned instructional materials. Priority 2 ensures that we make progress implementing the state academic standards and are providing professional development to our teachers to do so. Overall, we rated ourselves 4 out of 5 with full implementation of adopted academic core curriculum frameworks. This is a 2% increase from last year. The only areas of growth that we see, or some one area of growth, is in career technical education, which is difficult to achieve online as far as completing an entire pathway, which requires multiple classes and a focus on a career technical education job focus. So that's still an area of growth for us. Priority 3 highlights parent engagement. Using the self-reflection tool, the school was rated on a scale of 1 through 5 in 3 areas: building relationships, building partnerships for student outcomes, and seeking input for decision-making. The parent survey data was discussed at the last board meeting as reviewed by Mrs. Reese. In brief, for each of the 3 key areas above, parents overwhelmingly responded favorably. I encourage you to review Priority 3's narrative, as this year we provided specific examples of parent and student feedback from our advisory focus groups, WASP feedback groups, and day-to-day interactions with parents and students, including those where we reviewed the LCAP and LCFF. Priority 6 evaluates our school climate, and according to annual survey results also shared with the board at a previous board meeting, the majority of our students reported that they felt connected to an adult at school. This is a significant achievement. We know that our students have had traumatic experiences in prior learning, home, or schooling. We strive to create an inclusive, collaborative, trauma-informed environment where all students feel that they can thrive, and we try to meet students where they're at, really get to know them, and wrap around them with community resources that they need. Priority 7 measures progress, ensuring students have access to a broad course of study, and this is where the CTE courses would come into play. Due to the nature of the independent study program, we may not offer as wide a breadth of coursework as a traditional high school, but we do offer all courses students need to graduate and a variety of electives. We also provide specific support classes such as reading intervention, math intervention for our unduplicated students, and every student has access to every class should they choose. Students are placed in courses that not only meet the requirements for their high school diploma, but also their post-graduation goals. I'm happy to answer any questions regarding the LCFF Local Indicators Report. And if there are no questions, this concludes my presentation.
All right. Any questions for Jim?
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we're going to go to 4E, Annual IRS Form 990, Return of Organization Exempt from Income Tax for the California Return of 2021, as filed. Gita.
Thank you, Board. This is just to inform the Board that the IRS Form 990 that you all received a copy of has been filed timely. That's for the 990 return and for the school's income tax for fiscal year 2021-2022. So if there are any questions, I'll be happy to discuss. Thank you.
Thank you. We all have a copy of that. Any questions for Peter? All right, so now we're going to go to 4F, the legislative update, and this is Bill Clinton.
Yes, thank you. Well, at last meeting, we talked a little bit about a couple of bills that were going to be presented and pending, and one of those was to change the definition to one that would be flex-based instruction. A-Class and CCSA were together along with our legislative advocates and others to come up with a bill that would be a better definition because the way education has actually been developed in a lot of different ways that students' needs can be met. That got out of the in committee, but they took out some of the language, but it still got out of the in committee. But unfortunately, it didn't get voted on in this session, so it becomes what we call a two-year bill. Next year, we're going to take that up again, and it would be a good thing, and I think very apropos to the kind of school that we're here discussing today. We still feel it would be helpful for that bill to pass. Some good news on the extension of the renewal. Initially, we had asked for two-year renewal of the existing charters, and that came out of the Ed Committee with cut back to 1 year. Well, when it got to the Senate, they voted unanimously in favor of it, so that's a good thing, and we're expecting the Assembly will probably do the same, and we're hopeful that the governor will sign it. So we will end up that way with a one-year renewal, which will be a good thing. And Jeff, maybe why don't you go ahead and comment on that?
Yeah, the 1 year, the 2 year sounded like a good idea, but actually the truth, the 1 year is the smarter program as far as we're concerned. It still gives us time for our renewals, get those programs. We were already working on that. It shortens the time between the end of the moratorium and the opportunity for us to grow. So rather than wait 2 years, hopefully the moratorium will be done and we can branch out and start adding other sites to our schools, other areas to our schools. So in actual context, it turned out very well for us. So I just want to congratulate the legislature for taking into consideration the fact that we needed some time. So thank you.
And just a couple other points. Bob Morales, and Chief Ex-Criminal Affairs Officer at LLIC, and his team, as I remind the board, it's a really good thing to have that resource and have that assistance, because a standalone charter school could not do the kinds of things that we do to keep track of what's going on in the legislature, in D.C., and so they really do perform a valuable function there. They also spend time introducing legislators and local elected officials to people in the schools, so that they get an idea. They'll find out, for example, they can talk to Lindsay and Jenna and find out exactly what rivals achieving the success we are at San Diego Mission Academy, and they can then we have one less enemy, we hope, a lot of times, because a lot of times they just assume that what we're doing is enough. They don't know about it. So education really does help with our legislators. And Bob and his team really do a good job on that. And he will try to be at these meetings whenever he's able to do so. So they will continue that process. And I think, by our next meeting, we will have a better handle on what's going on with the budget. It's back and forth between the legislature and the governor right now. As to what's happening, but overall, this is looking like a pretty good year for charter schools generally and for us.
Absolutely. Am I correct? Like, Jeff, you meet with them like Monday mornings?
Yes, we're invited to be part of that program. Myself, Bill Thompson, our attorney, we're all in there finding out what's happening, and we can put input and we can get information out. So, yeah. We're in there. We're part of the program.
Yeah, I mean, we feel fortunate to be able to do that weekly.
Right.
It sounds like, weekly, you have to weekly. Yeah, because especially during this period, when things change quite a bit, as I've said before, things can kind of change. But so far, so good. And on an optimistic note, this has turned out to be a pretty good year for us. Not like sometimes in the past.
So on training sessions in the past, when we were there, sometimes you would bring in the lobbyists who would tell us political things.
Our group that meets on Monday, it's not just the three of us. It includes our lobbyists, includes people that are working directly with Sacramento now. We're bringing everything up to date. It includes the LLHC folks. It includes what's happening in state, out of state, what's going on in Sacramento and Washington, D.C.
That suggestion is noted. Yeah. Jeff Martin, wouldn't you say? And Jerry, I think that's a good idea.
Good idea.
Because I really enjoyed, I mean, it was like election time, so they would come in and talk about local elections and national and everything else. It was really interesting.
Right.
Okay. Any questions in front? All right, so now we're going to go to G, the 23-24 board meeting dates. It's in your packet on page 50. And put it in your calendars and be flexible. Yeah. All right, we got this. So now we're going to go into public hearing. And the board will hold a public hearing to solicit the recommendations and comments of members of the public regarding the budget overview for parents and the local control accountability plan, LCAP, including the specific actions and expenditures proposed to be included in the school LCAP to comprehensive support and improvement plan for the 23-24 school year. Can you believe that? All right. So I need a motion and a second to open the public hearing.
I make a motion to go into the public hearing.
Sean Dirsch seconds the motion.
So Claudette made his motion, and John George has seconded. So we'll vote. So Steph, aye.
Aye.
John Dirsch.
Aye.
Barbara Wilbrand.
Aye.
So we are now in the public hearing. And the public hearing is now open at 12:26. The board has allotted 15 minutes for this public hearing. Members of the public shall have 3 minutes each to address the board during this hearing. The board may extend the time with a majority vote. And the board will first hear a presentation from Lindsay.
Thank you, President Sanford. The budget overview for parents includes information on the local control funding formula, supplemental concentration grant, and state funds. The budget overview for parents demonstrates to the public and parents that the school directed its funds in 2023-2024 towards increasing or improving services for high-need students, such as English learners, foster youth, and homeless students, as well as low-income students. On page 67 of your board packet, the chart explains the projected revenue for the school by each fund source. School districts receive funding from different sources, state funds under the LCFF, other state funds, local funds, and federal funds. LCFF funds include a base level of funding, as well as extra funding, which is called supplemental concentration grants, to LEAs based on the enrollment of high need students. The total revenue projected for San Diego Mission Academy is $3.4 million, of which $3.1 million is LCFF, $263,000 is other state funds, no local funds, and approximately $19,000 in federal funds. Of the $3.1 million in LCFF funds, $530,000 is generated based on the enrollment of high-need students. Page 59 has a chart that describes the budgeted expenditures in the LCAP. San Diego Mission Academy plans to spend just under $3 million for the 23-24 school year, and of that amount, $2.6 million is tied to actions and services in the LCAP. On page 72, the LCAP begins. The school analyzed various data sources, including the California Dashboard, DataQuest, SARC, LCAP Annual Data Report, and WASP data. Although the school is identified for comprehensive support and improvement, otherwise known as CSI, due to a low federal graduation rate, there are significant successes in key metrics. Successes. The graduation rate increased by 5.2 percentage points to 93.1%. The success rate improved by 4 percentage points to 95%. And the retention rate is 89.04%. The attendance rate remains high at 87%. The English learner reclassification rate improved by 13 percentage points from 0 to 13%. So that's great. The suspension rate remains zero. And school survey results show high levels of connection and safety among students. Standards were met for indicators such as parent engagement, local climate survey, access to a broad course of study, basic teacher and instructional materials, and implementation of academic standards, as Jenna just shared. Also, the college and career indicator was suspended for 2022. The school plans to maintain its success by implementing the LCAP actions and monitoring progress and engaging in continuous improvement. Identified needs include the federal 4 to 5 year cohort graduation rate, EL reclassification, and academic indicators by increasing tutoring support and addressing various factors like credit completion, attendance, student motivation, and parent engagement. Performance gaps were observed in the federal 4 to 5 year cohort graduation rate, the English language and math indicator, particularly among socioeconomically disadvantaged students, Hispanic, African, and English learner student groups. The school aims to address these gaps through its CSI plan and the LCAP. As I mentioned briefly a minute ago, the Comprehensive Support and Improvement Plan, otherwise known as CSI Plan, was supported through guidance and training from the CDE, county offices, and local professional networks. The needs assessment was conducted utilizing various data sources such as graduation rates, math and ELA results, attendance data, tutor participation, and credit completion data. The analysis revealed gaps in graduation rates and the need for intensive tutoring as an evidence-based intervention to improve math skills and increase credit completion. Educational partners, including our ELAC, PAC, staff, and student groups, were engaged in the process to address equity and resource inequities. The Fishbone protocol was used to identify root causes, particularly related to credit completion rates. Monitoring program effectiveness. The state and federal programs coordinator will support the school team in monitoring and evaluating their improvement plan. They will collect tutoring participation data, monitor credit completion, and analyze graduation rates. The goal is to increase tutoring participation by 50% and improve credit completion rates to 4 credits completed per learning period. The school will implement a Plan, Do, Study, Act, or PDSA model for continuous improvement and use data to inform decision-making. Results will be shared with teachers, students, parents, and the school board regularly. Engaging educational partners. San Diego Mission Academy actively sought input from its various partners, including parents, guardians, students, teachers, administrators, school counselors, classified staff, and our school partnerships. They utilized a range of methods such as meetings, committees, surveys, workshops, and engagement opportunities to gather feedback and address their local LCAP and actions. Regular check-ins were conducted with school partners, and administrators reviewed the data to assess student progress. Aspects of the LCAP that were influenced by input from our educational partners include increasing tutoring support to improve the graduation rate, hiring additional staff to maintain a low to teacher-to-student ratio, enhanced counseling support through increased counseling events, transition to a new learning management system, promote college and career readiness by increasing enrollment in dual enrollment programs, and allocate more funds to increase student retention with the help of a part-time retention specialist and a community liaison staff member. Funding decisions reflect the input of our educational partners and aim to improve all student outcomes using local metrics. The goal is to maintain a success rate of above 80% each year. A quick review of our goals and actions, which begin on page 92. Goal number one is to increase academic progress. This is a focus goal. To increase academic progress for all students, especially students who are English learners, low income, and foster youth. Goal number two is that students will gain skills for college and career readiness. This is a broad goal for helping students gain skills for college and career readiness for all students, and also including our special populations. Goal number three is to increase student retention. This is a maintenance goal for student retention and is designed to continue the success we have already had addressing student disengagement in our program. Goal number four is to increase educational partner engagement. This is a maintenance goal for increasing parent engagement. We worked with the finance team to allocate funds for these goals and actions. A total expenditures table is available in your board packet starting on page 125. We are excited to launch into the new year as we continue to focus on these goals and metrics to improve the quality of education that our school offers. And I would like to take this opportunity to ask for any questions or comments from the board or public about the budget overview for parents and the LCAP for the 23-24 school year. Maybe an auctioneer on my next slide.
This is my dad. I just want to say, you know, after, you know, you're reading all this and going through all that, it takes a lot, doesn't it? It just takes a lot to, you know, get these plans going, but then going back and look at these plans and make sure that you're doing every single thing that, you know, you've listed to do all of these things. And it is a wonderful job that you guys do. The plan is good, and then you guys have to actually, you know, implement this and make it work. So I would say good job to you guys because you do that.
Thank you very much.
Good stuff. Yes,
lots of great data and successes, much to be proud of. Room for, you know, small improvements here and there, but overall they're doing great. I mean, did you, 95% success rate, 95% of kids that enter our program graduate, stay with us, or return to district. That's amazing for a virtual school. That's such a high level of engagement. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, I lose your EL students, too, and that's amazing, too.
We're making great progress.
All right. Any questions? So, the board will now solicit recommendations and comments from members of the public on the budget overview for parents and the local control accountability plan, the LCAP, including the specific actions and expenditures proposed to be included in the school LCAP, comprehensive support and improvement plan for the 23-24 years. School year. Are there any members of the public in person or on the conference line who wish to offer comment? Anyone? All right. Are there any members of the public who submitted written comment to the board? Shelley.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Shelley Sands from the Charter Affairs team here to report that there were no members of the public who submitted written comment or have requested to speak.
All right. So now I need a motion and a second to close our public hearing.
I think I'll make a motion to close the public hearing.
Bring to the board's attention for board's consideration. The red lines and the detail is in your packet, and the brief summaries are on the screen as you see. So on page 80, I'd like to ask the board to consider adding a policy to be able to reimburse students in need for any passport expenditures. And this is for the students that sometimes the school takes the students on experiential trips. And these are instructional trips, sometimes within United States, sometimes outside United States, internationally. And given the population of our students, a lot of them don't have or cannot afford to get a passport, and they do not have passports. So our staff at the school like to support the students with that, and we just wanted to follow the guidelines and include this with the board approval in the policy to be able to reimburse the students that are selected that need to get the passport. The school can pay for it and not be a barrier for them. So that's the first one. The second item is on page 82 and 83, establishing a provision of used Chromebooks for graduating seniors and asking the students to purchase them if they would like for a dollar. And I have Kimberly Souza on the line, and she's our technology expert, and she did put together a great policy, and I will defer to her to explain this. Go ahead, Kimberly.
Thank you, Gita. Thank you, Ford. So we know as technology continues to play an integral part in education that it's really crucial for our schools to provide students with the tools they need to be successful in the digital era. So what we've done is we've proposed implementing a policy that allows graduating students to purchase used Chromebooks for a nominal fee of $1, which was recommended by our external auditors, Wilkinson, Hadley, and King. Doing this, the process would be the Chromebooks would be over 2 years old, so they would not have residual value, and we would do something called power washing them so that we would get them ready for the students. They would have no school data on them. They would be like a completely new refurbished Chromebook. So that's the policy we put forth and asked for approval on.
Thank you, Kimberly. And then, Board, the third item is on page 113. This item was not in the accounting manual, and it is a requirement. We do follow the policy, but it was not actually documented and inserted in the accounting manual. It's in reference to a capitalization threshold. So we're adding a capitalization, school's capitalization threshold based on ADA of the school. So if anything is purchased, it will be capitalized based on those thresholds noted in the accounting manual and depreciated. The only thing that is not, the threshold hasn't changed or recommended to change is anything that is purchased with federal funds, the threshold remains to be at 5,000 or plus. So if an equipment is purchased for $5,001, it will be recorded. And it belongs to that grant, which is funded by federal government and depreciated. So that threshold will remain to be that. Everything else is based on ADA and can fluctuate. And this is a recommendation, again, by Wilkinson, Hadley, and King, our third party auditor. So these are the three recommendations for board's consideration. And if there are any questions, I'll be happy to go over them. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Those are some really good policies, Gita. Any comments from the board? If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 6D?
John Dirch moves to approve.
Claudia Beck, second.
John Dirch has moved. Claudia Beck is seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudia Beck,
aye.
John Dirch,
aye.
Barbara Wilbrand,
aye.
So 4D has passed with four ayes. B, the board will be asked to approve the local control funding formula, LCFF, for school year 23-24, which drives the primary source of funding for the charter schools.
Thank you, Board. So the local control funding formula, or the LCFF, is the primary source of funding for the school. This funding has two primary components. It has a base rate that applies to all schools and depends exclusively on ADA by grade span. The second component is supplemental and concentration that depends on the percentage of schools' English learners, foster youth, or low-income students. The LCFF calculation is the largest source of unrestricted revenue for the school. It is essential to the budget and LCAP development. For fiscal year 23-24, the LCFF funding formula will provide a total of $3,112,679. This total includes a base funding of $2,582,708, or 82.9% of the total LCFF funding. It also provides a supplemental and concentration funding of $529,971, or 17.1% of the total LCFF funding. So this concludes my report on LCFF. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to go over. Thank you.
Any comments or questions? Otherwise, can I have a motion and a second to approve
6E? Rebecca, make a motion to approve 6E.
Barbara Willebrand will second.
Claudette Beck has motion. Barbara Willebrand has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck,
aye.
John Bird,
aye.
Barbara Willebrand,
aye.
So 6E has been approved with 4 ayes. F, the board, 6F, the board will be asked to approve the Education Protection Account, the EPA spending determination detail.
Thank you, Board. So the EPA funding is a component of the school's total LCFF entitlement. As shown on the budget report in the LCFF sources section, in the budget that I will go over in a few seconds, it's on the agenda on page 2 of its form 62. It's located under object code 8012. For current fiscal year 22-23, the school will receive EPA revenue of $46,140. For next fiscal year, it is estimated for 23-24, it is estimated EPA revenue is based on the latest LCFF calculator, and it is calculated to be an estimated amount of $42,190 of funding. This funding is required to be used only for instructional services, and it must be posted on the school's website on an annual basis. And if you, board, ever get a chance to log in and look at the website of the school, you'll see that EPA information is always listed there. So if there are any questions, that concludes my report on EPA. Any questions, I'll be happy to discuss. Thank you.
Any questions for us? Otherwise, can I have a motion and a second to approve 6F?
John Dorsch moves to approve.
Barbara Willebrand second.
Barbara Willebrand is seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck,
aye.
John Dorsch,
aye.
Barbara Willebrand,
aye.
So 6F has been approved with 4 ayes. G, the board will be asked to approve the budget for the 23-24 fiscal year. Vita.
Thank you, Board. So the preparation of the school's budget is based on funding information from the governor's May revision to the state budget. And it will be adjusted in the future if there are any changes to the budget when it is signed in a couple of weeks in the month of June or in subsequent revisions during the summer. The funding projection for next fiscal year includes a COLA of 8.22% to the LCFF funding rate, and the governor's May revision to the state budget also include additional funding approved under Proposition 28 for arts and music education funding to establish a new ongoing program supporting arts instruction in schools beginning fiscal year 23-24, which is approximately, we calculated it to be around $24,000. However, there wasn't an official information under CDE for this funding amount. Therefore, it's not included in our budget development. So it will be reported and incorporated in the future budget revision once we have the exact amount. Also in the governor's division, there was a proposed ongoing funds to close the opportunity gap through the equity multiplier that would be available through the LCFF funding to schools that meet specific percentage of students eligible for free lunch. This funding also is not included in the budget report since official information from CDE wasn't available. but it will be included in the revisions if the school receives this funding. Also under the governor budget, there has been some discussion and impact under current fiscal years. So it impacted current years and projections, and it proposes a funding reduction on the Arts, Music, and Instructional Material Block Grant and Learning Recovery Emergency Block Grant in fiscal year 22-23 to cover part of the cost of LCFF COLA for 23-24. And both cuts are around, for the whole fiscal year, is around 50% of the funding. This reduction is included in the current year's projections in the budget report, so it is taken into consideration. Now we're going to go on the report, actual report. I'll go over that with you. We'll start with the last page of the Form 62, Form Average Daily Attendance. And this report shows an average daily attendance of 230 for current fiscal year, and a projection of 210 ADA for next fiscal year. This projection shows a decrease of 20 ADA that will have a negative effect in most ADA-based funding sources. Now we're going to go back to the beginning of the budget report, Form 62, and we'll start with the revenue, and then I'll go over expenses. The total revenue budgeted for next fiscal year is $3.3 million. This shows a decrease of 8% compared to current fiscal year, and it is due to different factors. Revenue for LCFF sources is budgeted at $3.1 million, showing a reduction of $57,000 or 1.8%. This is due to combined effect of the increase in LCFF funding rate of the COLA of 8.22%. and the decrease in projected funding ADA. Under the federal funding, it is budgeted at $18,000. This shows a slight decrease of 1.1% compared to the current fiscal year, and that's due to a minor decrease in federal special ed funding. Other state revenue in the budget shows a substantial decrease in funding compared to the current fiscal year, from $503,000 to $261,000, and that's due primarily to the absence of Arts and Music and Instructional Material Block Grant and the Learning Recovery Emergency Block Grant that were one-time funding grants recognized as revenue in 22-23, but they will not be recorded or funded for fiscal year 23-24. Other state revenue sources like the state sped and lottery will also have a small reduction in funding due to decrease in funding ADA. Lastly, the school is not projecting local revenue at this moment, so there is a natural reduction from current year's revenue levels. I just want to note to the board that the Proposition 28 Arts and Music that I mentioned for next year that is not included in the budget is a different funding source that was voted by people. So that's a proposition. It's different from the one-time funding that was funded by the state this fiscal year. So they're both for arts and music, but they're different funding sources. And under the expense side, the school is budgeting a total expenditure of $2.9 million. The budget incorporates a decrease in salaries and benefits of 12%. That's due to budget reduction in all categories, including teachers, instructional support, and administrative salaries. This includes an increase in budget for health benefits due to an increased cost of health care plans. Purchase spending is budgeted at $134,000, showing a reduction of 5% compared to current fiscal year. This comes from a minor reduction of spending on school materials and equipment. Budget for total operating expenses is $782,000, showing an increase of 3% compared to current fiscal year. This is mainly due to an increase in budget for professional services. The school is budgeting for an excess revenue. Now we're going to look at the net operating loss or surplus. So The school is budgeting for an excess revenue of $399,000 for fiscal year 23-24. With this excess revenue and the current fiscal year end projection net position of $393,000, the school will end the fiscal year 23-24 with a projected total and net position of $792,000. All this reserve amount is unrestricted and is equal to 26% of the total budgeted annual expenditures. This concludes my report, and if there are any questions, I'll be happy to discuss. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. It's comprehensive. Anybody have questions or comments?
Just one quick comment. If you notice that the ADA went down a little bit, it has to do with the way that we're projecting our revenue. I don't really think we're going to go down. I think we're actually going to go up. But given the current financial climate, we don't yet have all the revisions to the governor's budget. We're not getting as much one-time funding. We erred on the side of very conservative projections, and then hopefully we overshoot them.
Which is normally what the budget should be, so that we have the opportunity to provide the true budget as we get further.
Exactly. So
you're just happy about the next year, though.
It's for next year. Yeah. But it looks like we're projecting a decrease.
Yeah.
Not really. The way the we have a tool that we use to project it, and it was, I need to circle back on that. But all in all, it's a good thing that we're projecting conservatively, just given the current economic climate. I think we'll overshoot it though.
Thank you. I can have a motion and a second to pass 6G.
I think I'll make a motion to approve 6G.
So, Betch's motion. John George is second. And we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudia Beck,
aye.
John George,
aye.
Barbara Wilbrandt,
aye.
So 6G has passed by 4 ayes. So now we're on H. The board will be asked to approve the budget overview for parents and local consultants.
Yep, nothing further to add, just asking for the board's approval.
All right, so can I have a motion and a second to approve 6H?
Bob Wilbrandt, second.
John George is moved. Barbara Wilbrandt is second. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudia Beck,
aye.
John George,
aye.
Barbara Wilbrandt,
aye.
So 6H has been approved with 4 ayes. So now we're in I. 6I. The board will be asked to approve the consolidated application process and submission for all reports required for the 23-24 school year. Lindsay.
Thank you. The consolidated application, also known as the CONAP, is used by the California Department of Education to distribute categorical funds from various federal programs to county offices, school districts, and direct-funded charter schools. Annually, from mid-May to the end of June, each LEA, using the Consolidated Application and Reporting System, also known as CARS, submits the spring release of the CONAP. The spring release documents participation in certain categorical programs and provides assurances that the LEA will comply with the legal requirements of each program. Program entitlements are determined by formulas contained in the laws that created the programs. And at this time, I'd like to ask the board to approve the CONAP process and submission for all reports required for this 23-24 school year.
Right back, I'll make a motion to approve agenda item I.
Claudia Beck's motion. Barbara Wilbrandt is seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudia Beck,
aye.
John George,
aye.
Barbara Wilbrandt,
aye.
So 6I has been approved with 4 ayes. 6A, the board will be asked to renew a revolving line of credit, RLOC, from Hamney Bank for the 23-24 school year as needed to maintain adequate cash flow pursuant to the RLOC provision. Gita.
Thank you, Board. So in the prior years, the school has had the opportunity to obtain financing through Hamney Bank that has provided a credit facility to the school at a competitive rate. This request has been approved by the Board annually since fiscal year 2018-2019. Therefore, for fiscal year 23-24, the school is requesting the approval of $1 million a standard line of credit from Hamney Bank. The interest rate is highest between 3.75% and prime rate plus 0.5%. Currently, the higher of the two is prime of 8.25% plus 0.5%, setting the rate at 8.75%. This is a recommendation to the board, and for the board's consideration. It's always great for the school to have a credit facility. So I would like the board to consider that. Thank you.
Any questions? We have a motion and a second to approve 6J.
John Dirch move.
Barbara Wilburn second.
John Dirch is moved. Barbara Wilburn is second. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claude Beck,
aye.
John Dirch,
aye.
And Barbara Wilburn,
aye.
So 6J has been approved with 4 ayes. We're now on 6K. The board will be asked to approve obtaining a loan from LLAC during the 23-24 fiscal year as needed to maintain adequate cash flow pursuant to promissory notes provisions with applicable interest. This is Gita.
Thank you, board. This is just another short-term financing alternative that the school uses to meet short-term cash needs. It is a low-interest alternative, and it allows the school to access additional funds if other financing sources are more expensive or not sufficient. It helps the school to keep the financing costs low. The amount approved for the promissory note between the school and the LLAC will have a maximum borrowing during the fiscal year. For fiscal year 23-24, the school is requesting approval to borrow up to $500,000 from LLAC as needed. The interest rate is set at 6%, and the note includes the lender's option to adjust the rate once during the fiscal year if the market rate changes substantially up or down. And as you all know, last year we experienced a big fluctuation for OmniBank interest rate. It went up from 3.75% up to 8.75%. And again, the economy is very uncertain. So we don't know if the interest rate comes down. We'd like to have the opportunity to bring it back to the board for consideration to possibly reduce that interest rate, or if it goes up, to bring it back to board for consideration for an increase. So that's my recommendation for the board's consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Dean. Any comments from the board? If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 6K?
Claire Beck, I'll make a motion to approve 6K.
John Dirch, second.
Claire Beck's motion, John Dirch is second. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claire Beck,
aye.
John Dirch,
aye.
And Barbara Wilburn,
aye.
So 6K has passed with 4 ayes. We are now on L. The board will be asked to approve the updated signers for all bank accounts. I'd like to request a motion to approve the updated signers for all bank accounts to reflect the following. In addition, would be Shelley Haynes, superintendent. We would reconfirm Jeff Brown, corporate chief executive officer, Jerry Benson, corporate chief financial officer and secretary, and Jeffrey Martineau, vice president of charter relations. Can I have a motion and a second to approve 6L?
John Dirch.
Okay, John Dirch has motioned and Barbara Willebrand has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck,
aye.
John Dirch,
aye.
Barbara Willebrand,
aye.
So 6L has passed with 4 ayes. So now we're going to go on additional corporate officers and board members' observations and comments. Mr. Brown.
Well, thank you very much for this afternoon, members of the board. Guess what? We're entering 23-24. Is that exciting? And we're entering in a very strong position. We not only survived 22-23, but we're going in a good attitude and a good way to go with all the support that we've had. And that support to me is extremely important. Not only our personal staffs that have been out there doing all the good boots on the ground work and getting these young people educated and doing a great job at it. Thank you. Also, the support groups, LLHC and our finance department, she's a wonderful worker there, gets it all done as her people work on it. Our legal department, who constantly makes sure we're legal, gets us right through with no problem. So the folks that are out there are fighting for us every day here in Sacramento, back in Washington, D.C., and locally, making sure that their folks come visit us. Makes a big difference, and that's that legislative department and Barb's and his crew. All the other support folks that we have, transportation people, the construction people, the finance people, everybody else that's in it, I just want to thank all of them for all they've done, and for our board that survived last year, and only survived, decided to try it some more. So I want to congratulate the board for continuing their good job. And most of all, my own personal group here, Jeff, Jerry, Pat Hill, who helps us, all those young ladies that bring all this stuff to us, Shelley, Deanna, all of the rest of them, thanks much. So I'd like to take it back to you. Good help there. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Jerry Vincent.
Yes, ma'am. Teamwork, the dream works, right? So together we stand strong. And I'm very delighted that each one of you have decided to govern again for yet another year, and looking forward to the gains that will be made next year. Excited about serving children, and thank you to Jenna and to Lindsay for your student-facing service and support. That's where it all lies. So thank you.
Can I make one comment? You can. This was a banner year for San Diego Mission Academy. I wanted to remind the board that previous years, we have operated in a deficit. This is the first year we're in a positive, and going into next school year, we'll be nearly doubling the reserve this year. And our authorizer at Warner Unified was very pleased that we are finally operating in the black, so to speak. So I did want to just take a moment and commemorate that. I'm very proud of Jenna and her team and the hard work they've done to enroll students and make sure we have balanced budgets and can support our salaries going forward.
That is absolutely important. We got to pay our own way. Thank you, both of you. Our authorizers are right. And I'm glad that we're getting the approval. Any other board members have comments?
I just want to say, Ms. Kleidebeck, that it is exciting for the online schooling, because you guys are doing such a great job, and we can see that it's going to continue. So we'll see also from your next one, too, how that's going. And then we can see how it's going to spread. And I think that's very, very exciting. So and congratulations to you girls.
Thank you.
Barbara or Mike, any comments?
I concur.
You can say and Mike?
Mike Malloy concurs, too.
Thank you, Mike.
That's the mic I love.
Yeah. All right. It being that we're done with that, we're now going to go into closed session. I'd like to request a motion to adjourn our open public board meeting to go into closed session. Public Employee Performance Evaluation Government Code Section 549571, Title Area Superintendent.
I think I'll make a motion to go into closed session.
John Dorch will second the motion.
So, Public Beck's motion, John Dorch has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Public Beck,
aye.
John Dorch,
aye.
Barbara Willebrand,
aye.
So, we now have 4 ayes to go into closed session and adjourn open. Okay, board member John Dorch made motion to exit closed session, and board member Fada accepted the motion, and the board voted 4 ayes to adjourn closed session and reconvene to open public floor meeting. And no action was taken in closed session. Public Employee Performance Evaluation Government Code Section 549571. So we are now back in open session, and we're on A, next regular board meeting is September 1st, 2023 at 12. And now I need a motion and a second to adjourn this big meeting. I'm going to make a motion for adjourn the meeting.
John Dorch, second.
John Dorch's motion. John Dorch, second. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. John Dorch,
aye.
John Dorch,
aye.
And Barbara Willebrand,
aye.
So by 4 ayes, we are adjourning this meeting.